RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Reclaiming My Time, Val, and
the Democrats are all crazy beans. This was, we have so much to talk about today, so much. And yesterday, I think, was the turning of the tides, Frank. I really do.
I hope. We need a turning of the tide, and that was beyond reproach.
Oh, Lord, it was bad. And I saw, you know, you touched on this a little bit yourself last night, but I think we need to do a thorough dissection of this hearing yesterday for people who didn't hear the whole thing. And we definitely need to talk about the COVID stuff that's going on with the censorship of these doctors and Uncover DC, surprisingly enough.
Let's do it.
All right.
No, so we need to.
It's a necessity for anyone out there listening. We did a show, and right now as we speak, and I thought it would be fun today if we jumped into this a little bit. The live hearing on tech censorship is going on as we speak now.
Is Jack Dorsey there?
I believe so, yes. I thought maybe we'd pop in there occasionally and just hear what's going on.
Absolutely.
And just so that everybody knows, hold on one second. Just so that everybody knows, I'm dealing with some craziness on my end right now. Like, as we're recording the show, I have a bunch of website issues happening because nobody wants the truth to be allowed to flourish in this damn world. Nobody. If I could explain, you know, we're good at this stuff, okay? I've got a team of experts working with me, and you're not going to be successful, whoever you are out there. I'm telling you right now, it will not work. Somebody's trying to take down our website, and it's not happening. It's standing the test of time.
Well, I'm on it right now. It's not, everything seems to be in its place.
Yeah, everything is in its place right now because I have the most amazing people working on it. You know, I host with Epic, if anybody was interested. They're amazing. Just saying. I host with Epic. So it's working right now. But last night it was down for quite a bit. And it wasn't fun. I was up all night. And then I went to sleep, and then my alarm went off at 5 this morning for some unknown god-awful reason. So I got like 3 hours of sleep, and then I jacked myself full of coffee, and here I am.
I wish I could have done that. If I were awake before 7 o'clock every day, I'd be a Superman. But I go to bed too late, so I always set my alarm for, on average, 7:45.
Yeah, well, that's a good time to wake up in the morning, 7:45.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. All right. Well, that all being said, in case you couldn't tell, it's been a bit crazy for me today.
Well, you know, speaking about website issues, I heard those frontline doctors organization and that little co-op of doctors. There's a lot of dissident doctors out there that are starting to just demand for their voices being heard, and they're pushing back against. Well, obviously, we know about the censorship across Twitter and YouTube and Facebook of those doctors that got together in D.C. 2 days ago to talk about hydroxychloroquine and really fighting against the corporate media on this one. Squarespace. The Squarespace butted in and actually took down their website, claiming a terms of service violation.
Yeah, that they were disseminating misinformation.
Even though they're doctors.
They're doctors. This between this and the hearing yesterday with Barr, I'm telling you, it was a turning of the tides. I'm telling you, it was a turning of the tides in a direction that we are going to be very excited about in a few months. Because I talk to people. Okay. And again, I told everybody out there, I stay pretty much apolitical with my, you know, personal network. They know what I do, but nobody really pays it. You know, I don't push it on anybody. You know what I mean? They came to me and were like, oh my gosh. Like their home where they had this hearing on in the background from Barr. And they were like, oh my gosh, what is happening? They were disgusted with what they heard yesterday. Absolutely disgusted. But before we get to that, let's talk about these COVID doctors. They did a a conference where they say that what they want to do is to bring hope to the American people that there is treatment for this virus, that it doesn't have to be a death sentence, that, you know, there are things that they can do to treat it. And not only that, that, you know, there are pediatricians there that said that kids are not spreading this virus. We should open up school. You know, they were very, very responsible about it. And they're doctors, like a guy from UCLA Medical Center. You know, these are established doctors. Now, there's one doctor, the one who from Texas, Emmanuel, I believe her name is, who treated 350 patients with hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and a Z-Pak. And none of them progressed to serious illness and went into the hospital. They were all older with comorbidities and issues. She's from Nigeria, Frank.
Yeah.
And in Nigeria, they just do things differently. They have different belief system. They are very different culturally from here in the United States. And so she, I guess, has said some weird things over the years about like health maladies coming from spirits. And, you know, it's just, I guess, her religion. I don't think that that makes its way into her medical practice, to be honest. She's a medical doctor, board certified in Texas. So the fake news and the Daily Beast and all these rags decided they were going to just take this one woman and use her to disqualify everybody because of the things that she has said. And I think it's gross. I really do. Because, yeah, is it annoying that that's one of the people that, you know, stood up real strongly and they've got some weird stuff going on? I mean, why can't we just not have that? But it is what it is. And it doesn't diminish her experience treating patients.
Well, I was saying last night, because they dogpiled on top of her, but it's number one, you watch the way that Dr. Emmanuel conducts herself. She wouldn't care about this.
No, she
just
doesn't.
She is who she is. She's very, very confident in who she is. You get all that off of her just listening to her speak. And of course, you know, regardless of what her spiritual beliefs are, if she is touting a track record of hundreds of people and counting who are not dying, that she, like everybody else, is saying, we don't need a vaccine when there's a cure. You don't need to worry about this. There's a cure. We have it over here right now. And, you know, as far as the whole quackery thing here, though, goes, I'm saying to myself, this is a woman who believes that there's a way that you can activate consciousness on another frequency of light and potentially manifest harm or benefit in another person's existence through that conduit of consciousness. That is far more believable to me than saying that one person or another can change their sex by declaring it.
Yeah,
or
no, you're
you know, that's far more believable to me. That's far more constructive to me to consider than saying that we should give children estrogen therapy or you know, one thing or another. I don't know. There's just so much crap that they stand by.
Yeah. So they did. They used. She was very vocal. She went viral, and I have a bunch of clips that I was unable to use yesterday on the radio show, which was fantastic. By the way, it was a lot of fun. So we could play some of them today from the first press conference. But once they got censored and everything went down, and Breitbart was removed from Google search, I mean, they went full tilt. Facebook removed everything. Twitter removed everything. YouTube removed everything. Google deranked Breitbart. You can't find them anymore. They're gone because Breitbart covered it. They started a rumor that Breitbart hired those doctors and they were all actors. Of course, that's patently false. You can look them all up. It's ridiculous, but this is what we're dealing with. And why? Because of a drug that has been safely used for over 60 years?
Yep.
I mean, why don't they want the American people to get better? Even if it's just a 50% chance it'll work, who doesn't want to take that chance?
First of all, the current influenza vaccine is
5% effective.
Yeah, it's at most 50% effective. It's just like at that point, when you're talking flip of a coin, why are you even taking it?
Yeah, and they're pushing that on people. It was 10% effective the year of H1N1. And they push that on people like it's going out of style.
And so, they allow, and while they crucify these doctors that speak up, and they have medical background just like anybody else, but they're not corporate sponsored. And while they're crucifying these doctors, they're allowing Bill Gates, they're giving Bill Gates tens of millions of dollars worth of television time to try to explain away the reason why the vaccine and its clinical trials are doing harm to more than 50% of the patients that are being tested on.
Look,
and then you have it's ridiculous.
No, look, that vaccine, I'm telling you, I've done all the research on this because we've been reporting on it for months, 6 months now. Every time they've ever tried to come up with a vaccine for MERS, for SARS, whatever, it has ended up killing the creatures they injected it into when they're reintroduced to the virus. They give it to them once, then they get the virus again, and it's over. You're done for. Completely done. They've abandoned every single research trial up until now. Now they're trying to fast track this vaccine for people. And there's no liability. They're exempt from liability. There are people selling off insider trading the stock of some of these companies right now doing this vaccine development research. And not only that, that's the reason why they were able to find back in, I think it was 2005, that chloroquine, which is the less safe version of hydroxychloroquine, was a therapeutic for SARS. They found it back then. It was an NIH-sponsored study. The doctors brought this up yesterday, and they said plainly, Dr. Anthony Fauci knows this. He knows it. So they censor everybody. Yesterday happens. They did another press conference, and God bless those people. You know who was standing there proudly with them? Dr. Emmanuel. They did not push her out or get scared or anything. They kept her right there with them. They said, we are coming after big tech. You're not going to stop us from saving the American people. And there's nothing that you're going to do. And then they had a meeting, Frank, with the president and vice president of the United States of America.
Jeez, I'm glad, because my next question was going to be to you. Why the hell do you think the president keeps paying lip service to this amazingly fast development, a record development of a vaccine?
And why is he giving $750 million to Kodak?
I'm telling you, there's a lot here. I wish we can actually sit back and analyze and even criticize if it weren't for his opposition being demonic in their behavior and trying to push their vision for the country. If they weren't so bad, there's a lot of questions. Still a lot of questions here.
Yeah, there's tons of questions. And they're all going to need answers. Now, I got to tell you, I know that they're trying their darndest at these agencies to stop therapeutics from coming out. They don't want them. They don't want people to be able to take a medicine and get better. So these doctors are not stopping. They're going to keep going. I have no doubt. They understand that they've put it all on the line here. And there's no other reason for them to do it other than they are interested in saving America and saving the American people's lives. And for some reason, the powers out there do not want you to have this information. They don't want you to hear it. They don't want you to know what it is. They don't want you to not be scared. And so that's gotta sit weird with people. On that same vein, Frank, I was about to call you Will. You're not Will. Will would be laughing at me right now. If I were having this conversation with Will, he would be looking at me like, because I just start going and I don't stop sometimes. But it's one of those days. So he just looks at me because he's not in this world, you know. But it's,
right.
We talk about this stuff now because he's like, he sees it all but on his own. Like, I don't ever send anything to him. I don't say, here, take a look at this. Here, take a look at that. I don't send stuff to him. He finds stuff now on his own Twitter feed and on his own social media. And he says, oh, my gosh, what about this? What about this? That's how I know. You know, a lot of people don't believe that me and my husband don't have these conversations. He's not involved in all this stuff the way I am. We just don't talk about it, really.
Same thing with Lauren and I. I know that she watches the show at night more so than she ever has. I think she almost watches every night at this point. But aside from, you know, she has some kind of comments or things that she thought of during the show. Sometimes she'll tell me when I get home, but otherwise she'll just say, good show, honey. And that's really it. I mean, we just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And I think a big reason for that for a lot of people out there, whether they be friends, couples, families, whatever the hell it is that people who otherwise did not have this kind of conversation in their repertoire for a long time, it's because they had places to go to avoid it. There's no avoiding it anymore.
We're all
in our homes. If you're allowed to leave your homes, you can't leave without abiding by some kind of a mandated dress code. This is it's in everybody's faces now, and that's why I think even if there's not heated debate going on in every household, people are a lot more aware and a lot more curious, which is, I guess, a good thing, because it had to get this bad before it ever got better, because we were in stasis, in this kind of coma for so long while things were getting so bad and nobody believed it. So once you already go past that point of no return, like people like Ron Paul said that we had passed 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We needed this cold water moment. And when you get that cold water moment, you realize you're already in a nightmare. You didn't know what was developing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're going to have to fight through it. I wish we could have done it earlier, but we were in a trance.
Well, yeah. And you know, just the fact that he's waking up to all of this, he's a 2-time Obama voter. Okay. Just to give you an idea. And he's like, I'll never vote for a Democrat again in my entire life. How did I end up with a 2-time Obama voter? Because back in the day, you didn't need to agree on politics to be married to somebody. And, you know, he's changed over the years and I love him very much and he's brilliant. So when he sends this stuff to me, I take notice because he's the everyman, right? And he even sees it in his video games. He plays video games. He sees it there and he's like, I can't take this anymore. He changed his screen name to be something like provocative towards this SJWs just to mess with their heads.
My PSN is taxation is theft.
There you go.
I love beating people with it.
Beat them over the head with it, because it's true. But anyway, he sent me this yesterday before we get on to why Uncover DC was censored. He sent me an article. Well, he told me he was on his way to pick something up and he heard on the radio a sports guy saying that everybody in Canada yesterday, or every NHL player that was tested, there were over 4,000 tests done and they all tested negative for coronavirus. So no NHL player right now has coronavirus, not one of them, right? And during the first couple rounds of training, they were popping up positive everywhere. And they were all asymptomatic. Like everyone who stepped forward who said they had tested positive was an asymptomatic case. So the host says, you know, the only difference with what the MLB is doing versus what the NHL is doing is the NHL players are being tested in Canada now.
This is part of the whole thing here. We were joking about it on Monday where we said we're finally getting federalism, but it's only in how everybody is testing from state to state.
Yeah.
And they're getting their own results. Well, this is it, and it kind of links us into yesterday's hearing with Barr. I was saying to myself, I forget who it was. It was one of the Democrat committee members that was not there, and she zoomed in, and she said she made the claim because, of course, this was just a big campaign event yesterday. Every party platform item that they had, they found a way to make it part of this this hearing. It was ridiculous. Nothing made any sense. And she said she was one of the first people on up there, and she said that the president was, what the hell did she say? She said that the president was beating up protesters, pretty much, was out there beating up protesters because he wanted to avoid taking responsibility. He wanted to avoid taking responsibility for how bad the COVID numbers were, especially compared to what was going on in Canada. She said in Canada, the virus has nearly been reduced to nearly nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point here that I was making when I heard that, I said, yeah, well, the Canadian government and their state run media, they're not currently trying to eject the prime minister.
Right.
And Justin Trudeau had the kind of operation being worked against him as Trump has being worked against him, I'm sure that every squirrel every maple tree, every moose would be COVID positive up there right now.
Yeah, it's clear. We talked about the testing so much. I'm not going to stop talking about the testing. It is a big problem. And that's why yesterday when this these doctors said we really don't need to worry so much about the number of positive tests because there's flaws with the testing. She said it straight out. I'm going to actually hold on one second. I actually have the clip right here.
So the only number that I think is worth paying any attention to, and even that number is not so helpful, but is mortality, because that's a hard and fast number. So the case number is almost irrelevant. And that's because there's a lot of inaccuracies with the testing. And also, even if the test is accurate, most people are asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic. So it's not that important to know. So the case number, which you see rising all the time in the news, is basically irrelevant. And if you had told us a few months ago that that was the number that the media was going to go crazy over, we all would have just laughed at that. I mean, that's essentially herd immunity. There's lots of people out there who have tested positive without symptoms or with very mild symptoms. So the only number that's worth paying attention to is mortality. When you look at the mortality, this is a disease that takes that unfortunately kills our most frail members of society. People with multiple comorbid conditions, specifically diabetes, obesity is a big one. We don't talk about that, but it is. It's a fact. Coronary artery disease, severe coronary artery disease, people like that. And also, if you're older, it's a risk factor. But the biggest risk factor is if you have comorbid conditions. If you're young and healthy, this is not, you're going to recover. If you're under 60 with no comorbid conditions, it's less deadly than influenza. This seems to come as great news to Americans because this is not what you're being told. I would say the answer is it's very difficult to get accurate numbers.
Oh, you don't want that getting out of...
No.
You know, you don't want that truth getting out. There's inaccuracies in the test. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's the UCLA doctor. Oh, no, I'm wrong. But
listen, let me just put a little
this
bit
is Emmanuel.
Of that. I have seen 350 patients and counting. Put them on hydroxychloroquine. They all got better. This is what I would say to all those studies. They had high doses. They were giving the wrong patients. I would call them fake science. Any study that says hydroxychloroquine doesn't work is fake science. And I want them to show me how it doesn't work. How is it going to work for 350 patients for me and they're all alive? And then somebody say it doesn't work.
You know, you can't have somebody telling the NIH they're fake.
Oh, I know. I just had a screenshot sent to me from MSNBC, I believe, this morning. Here's the lower third as President Trump is facing off with a gaggle of demonic reporters. The lower third says, breaking news, Trump again defends doctor who believes in alien DNA, demon semen, and hydroxychloroquine. So they're talking about Dr. Emmanuel there. So she believes in alien DNA, demon semen, and she also believes in hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah, like it's
hydroxychloroquine
some sort of...
is a belief system. It's a belief system.
Listen.
And they have to put it all together or else you can't demean the third. You can't do it.
You can't you can't make this up. I mean, you cannot make this up. If somebody were to write this, it wouldn't sell.
No, at this point you can't. You couldn't have written this.
No. If somebody were to have written this down as like a fiction story to sell as a novel, a Tom Clancy or something, people would have been like, this is ridiculous. This is the most unbelievable story I've ever seen in my life. I will, you know, nobody's going to buy this book. Nobody. But here we are. And interesting little subsection here. There's a mother at this first press conference talking to a doctor. The pediatrician, and she asks a bunch of questions, and the pediatrician says, interestingly, zinc, right? If you are deficient in zinc, do you know how that manifests itself? Loss of smell and loss of taste.
Huh. Which is one of the biggest symptoms of COVID, right?
Yeah, and so zinc, a completely natural substance, which most Americans are deficient in at this point, is a necessary component of the Zelensky protocol, which is what it is that this hydroxychloroquine protocol is. This is that New York doctor who Daniel Babinski from Uncover DC interviewed back in the day, way in the beginning, who told him, I have treated hundreds and hundreds of patients like this in New York, in the worst place in New York, where now we're learning again all of basically three quarters of the deaths come from the nursing homes where Governor Cuomo killed people, literally. So there's that. But he had written an article on July 15th. So now 15 days, 2 weeks ago. It was shared over 500,000 times on Facebook, Frank. A scientific look at the mask fallacy and why we're told to wear them. He cites in here the Zelensky protocol. He talks about it. Okay. And Zelensky. Like I'm in Spygate. Zelensky protocol. My bad. He cites that. And the other thing is all about mask efficacy. And the studies from a decade ago that say that masks do not help to prevent the spread of virus. And all of the studies are linked. Facebook decided that my website is publishing fake news and labeled it as such. And every single person who shared it got a notification in their email that Uncover DC has shared fake news.
Yeah, well, and like we said, like I said before, Squarespace. Yeah. That's something that bothers me, Tracy. My website's on Squarespace.
Oh, well, go to Epic.
That's where Lauren built my website inside Squarespace because it's really actually a great platform. It has a lot of functionality, easy to put things together. And I'm saying, and it's just unbelievable. How can you possibly politicize every platform, everything, or science? Yeah, but that's just it. You can't go anywhere. Well, I mean, if I published let's say I started a website where it's just me. I'm a guy with a personal training background, podcasting, and rock music drummer. Okay, and I started giving out supposed cures for deadly diseases, and I can understand if somebody wants to take umbrage with my site and pull it down or give me kind of legal problems, whatever. But to see a coordination across a political sphere that has all of its roots into the corporate culture that really allows the private sector of America to do its thing. To see them going after people who should be legally allowed to have these conversations.
I mean, it's unbelievable. At the end of the day, not only that, Frank, you know who's getting in on the action now? The Federal Reserve in New York. They have they put up a statement on their website. I'm searching for it right now because I didn't plan on speaking about it today. Hold on. If you go to the website newyorkfed.org, you'll see it. It's a statement. It says the New York Fed stands in unity with all those who oppose racism.
Is it New York or NY Fed?
New York. Fed.org. It says the New York Fed stands in unity with all those who oppose racism, hate, and violence. We join them in a shared desire to root out the intolerable inequities and injustice grounded in systemic racism that persist in our society. We are firm in our belief that economic equality is a critical component for social justice and that we will never have the truly inclusive and strong economy we seek until access to health, education, safety, and justice knows no racial or other boundaries. This is terrifying. This is the federal.
There's been at least $22 trillion put on the United States government's credit card, made possible by the Federal Reserve for welfare, entitlements, affirmative action funding, housing, everything that you can put together since the war on poverty and everything else was launched in the 1960s. Over $20 trillion has been wasted.
Well, created out of thin air to begin with and then wasted.
And now we have to listen to this.
Now the New York Federal Reserve Bank, which I would recommend everybody out there. The thing that brought me sort of to the forefront of economic stuff was learning about the Federal Reserve. If you do not know about the Federal Reserve Bank, I would recommend that you guys do some cursory research and understand what it is, how it functions, and what its purpose is. Because it is not a friend of the United States of America. The government appoints chairman, but it's not run by the government. Let that sink in for a minute. It's crazy. Anyway, so the Federal Reserve is getting in on the action now, Frank. The social justice warrior action.
Oh, God. Well, at least it's all burning to the ground, so I don't care.
Yeah, well, yes, it seems so. And then, after I was censored and Daniel was censored and Uncover DC was censored and the doctors were censored and anybody trying to tell anybody anything, then the approved narrative was censored, we had what was supposed to be a hearing yesterday. And one of the quotes that came out of this that I thought was really interesting was A.G. Barr, where he said, "This is a hearing. I thought I was supposed to be heard." And it just pretty much summed it up at the end of the day, right? Like,
oh yeah,
I shared.
Yeah, no, this was you know how Tracy, when Nancy Pelosi was so kind as to articulate what a wrap up smear was.
Oh yes.
This was a wrap up smear. They took time, and it was the first big hearing in a long time. They haven't had this kind of television attention in a while. And their non-entity of a political candidate for president, he is being hidden day in, day out, managed by proxy because he's such a liability to be let out of the house, let alone in front of a crowd to speak off the cuff about anything. So they turned this into a campaign event where everybody took turns castigating the attorney general, not letting him speak. Everybody got their 5 minutes and they pretty much spoke at him. Every time he tried to respond, they reclaimed their time.
Well, I'm going to play.
I have limited time. I have just things I have to accuse you of doing and being. I mean, accusing him of being the worst possible things a person could be.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't even have a narrative that strung all the way through it that was cohesive. Some people talked about social justice and police reform. Other people talked about how the protests are not violent. Other people went, I mean, that Steve Cohen guy started talking about how he needs the last 0.1% of the Mueller report redacted because that's where all the big crimes are, I guess. All the big crimes are hidden behind the 0.1% of the shitty fan fiction that they published over there at the DOJ. It's all hidden behind some commas and semicolons. It didn't make any sense. I said, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
The abuse he took. For what reason?
Hold on one second. Listen to this clip. It pretty much sums it up, but we're going to listen to more. Hold on. Here we go. This is just a summary if you didn't hear the hearing yesterday or watch it.
My time is limited.
I have time.
So what?
Reclaiming my time.
I'm answering your question.
So you got to let him answer.
Reclaiming my time, sir. Reclaiming my time. And I know you don't want to answer.
I'm not saying that.
I reclaim my time.
Claiming my time.
Reclaiming my time, Mr. Attorney General. Reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time, Mr. Attorney. Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time, Mr. Barr.
Okay, reclaiming my time. Excuse me, the time is fine.
I'm starting to lose my temper.
Excuse me, Mr. Barr, this is my time and I control it.
Reclaim my time, sir.
Reclaiming my time. Okay.
I can't even listen to this without laughing.
Well, it is the perfect encapsulation of what used to make Saturday Night Live amazing.
I know. Let's finish it and then I
reclaiming my time.
Publication.
Reclaiming my time, sir.
Quibbling I will get over. To that. Reclaiming my time. You answered the question.
That's
Mr. Attorney General,
I think
reclaiming
that's
my
what
time.
I was talking
reclaiming
about.
My time.
We've waited a long time for you to come here. The time is mine. The time is mine.
Substances.
Attorney General, reclaiming my time.
Reclaiming my time, sir.
Out of rule, I think DHS.
Reclaiming my time. I'm surprised at your lack of respect.
The control. Can
I'm
you
really,
imagine being married to any of these
oh
people?
Oh, God.
The control.
I'm really upset. I'm really surprised at the lack of disrespect you're showing me now.
The lack of respect.
That's what he said. Oh, yeah, the lack of respect.
Lack of disrespect. No, well, you know, here's the thing. I actually works there, too.
I know.
I'm surprised. I'm upset by the lack of disrespect that you're showing me because as controlling and as evil as these people are, they are either gimps or dominatrixes behind the scenes. Every last one of them. They are either into humiliation, domination, whatever the hell it is. You listen to this. It's like, oh my God, it's a nightmare in these people. I can't even imagine what their bathroom habits are.
Oh God, don't even go there.
That Jayapal gremlin. She's a straight up gremlin. I'm not even gonna say what I was gonna say.
The time is mine, and I control it.
Now tell me something. How do you reclaim something you never gave up?
Yeah, I know.
I would have been like,
poor Barr. I mean, asking for breaks. Can you imagine what he was doing? I would. How did he? You know what the first thing he did was when this was over? He transferred the ability to determine what defines DACA to Chad Wolf.
Good.
He did that. And then here, hold on. The Babylon Bee had a funny headline. The violent riots are a myth, says Rep Nadler, as Antifa sets fire to congressional hearing room. If we didn't have this, we would never make it. We would never make it. And I, not only that, but throughout half this hearing, guess what was happening?
Rioting?
No, well, yes, but you know what else? Nadler was sleeping.
Oh, I saw him nodding off.
Yes.
And that mask he's wearing, isn't that just a sawdust mask?
Yes. It doesn't matter, like, because masks are... masks are
where'd
not...
Where'd you go?
I'm here. I'm just trying to think of how to say this. Masks suck.
I guess that's a good way of saying it. And whenever he shows up, I was wondering. I saw him nodding off. I said, and I'm looking at this mask. I'm saying to myself, I am pretty sure that's a sawdust mask that you can buy at Home Depot. And I mean, say what you want. I mean, those are the worst ones because they're almost like cardboard. There's absolutely no sealing around your mouth on that one.
Yeah, no, I listen. It is what it is. But the fact that he, at the end of the hearing, when AG Barr asked for a 5-minute recess, he said no. He said no.
Control.
And everyone was like, you're not going to let the guy take a break? Here, I've got a whole bunch of clips. Here.
That it is not a self-defining term, as they
only got 2 minutes, sir.
That they recognize,
Mr. Barr, if I
yeah, but this is a hearing. I thought I was the one that was supposed to be heard.
Well, let me, and I'm going to get there. The current dispute.
He makes that face. Like, how did he sit through all of this? Then there's a bunch here. Let's see.
No, I know that there's a lot of people that are still. They don't know what to make of William Barr because of his past and the other administrations he's worked in. And I know that there's a lot of people who are either they don't like him or they're not sure about him. But I'll tell you, I love watching him in hearings with these lunatics because I don't know the guy. He has nothing if not complete self-control.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's remarkable how cold and how ice cool this guy is to be able to sit there. And I mean, because my temperament is awful. I would have been in a bloody fist fight with them all within 15 minutes.
I think most of us would have. Here's where Nadler tries to tell him he can't use the restroom.
A member of the Judiciary Committee, following the law,
without objection,
following the law should be something a member of the Judiciary Committee knows.
The gentleman
is pretty darn clear.
The gentleman will suspend without objection. The material will be entered into the record. Ms. Dean is recognized.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, could we take a 5-minute break?
Ms. Dean is recognized.
Could we take a 5-minute break, Mr. Chairman?
No.
That's a common courtesy,
Ms. Dean is
chairman of every witness. I waited 45 an hour for you this morning. I haven't had lunch. I'd like to take a five-minute break.
Mr. Attorney General, we are almost finished. We're going to be finished in a few minutes. We can certainly take a break. But
you're real class.
Well, okay. After this, if you still want one, we'll have a break.
No, he wants a break now.
Now?
And you just mentioned rudeness. I think we're seeing it on display. Let's let the attorney.
And then we have this.
Ask you to intervene and try to stop states from counting legal ballots after Election Day. Will you do the right thing and refuse? Yes or no?
I will follow the law.
You won't say no, sir?
I'll follow the law.
It's very disappointing.
If a state has a law that says it has to be cast on Election Day, that's the law.
Will you commit to making sure the Department of Justice does not get involved in a contested election, yes or no?
I will follow the law.
It is so disappointing that we can't get a clear answer on that. Mr. Chairman,
That is a very clear answer. I will follow the, they're asking for ballot harvesting in every state, and they're asking AG Barr to say that he's just going to let it happen. And he's saying,
and the best thing is that the people posing the questions, they're legislators.
I know.
These are the people who write the laws.
Yep.
They write the laws that he enforces. And he's asking, and they think it's very disturbing that he's not being a little bit more, a little bit more vague about this, that he's not going to take a little bit of a subjective liberty with the laws that are supposed to be codified for a reason?
That's,
these are legislators asking
not only
these
questions. I know, and not only that, afterwards, that's so disappointing that you'll follow the law. This it's is so what we've devolved into. And I just want to show everybody this clip. We're going to end a few minutes early. We started late. Well, we're going to end a few minutes early today, unless we get off on a tangent, which is definitely possible, Frank. But this is something that I thought basically encapsulates their entire mantra, okay? Listen to this. This is the clip that did it for me.
I ask you this question. Does the Trump Justice Department seek to end systemic racism and racism in law enforcement? I just need a yes or no answer.
To the extent there is racism in any of our institutions in this country and the police, then obviously this administration will fully enforce this.
So you agree that there may be systemic racism?
To the extent, in where?
Let me continue my line of questioning.
I don't agree that there's systemic racism in the police department.
Specifically.
Generally in this.
Specifically. That's how they get you. I want a yes or no answer. You say yes. Oh, so you do agree that there's racism then. Do you understand, like, what happened there?
Of course. She said, if there's, you know, are you committed to rooting out systemic racism wherever it lies? And you say, well, yeah, well, what am I going to do? Say, no, I'm not going to root it out. And if we come across any aspect of our, you know, aspect of our system that is being dictated to by people's racist beliefs, yes, it will be addressed. Oh, so you agree that racism is running the world and the government?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was a clip yesterday I'm trying to find here.
Do you commit to not releasing any report by Mr. Durham before the November election?
No.
You don't commit to that.
No.
So you won't go by Department of Justice policy that you won't interfere in any political investigations before the November election.
Interfere? If Durham concludes his work and provides his findings and his conclusions prior to the election, that would be William Barr interfering with something?
There's no law and order for these people anymore. They know. He said no. He said no. And he even said after this, he said, I've made it very clear there's no targeting of any political opponents in this. There's nobody who's running for office that's being investigated. So in terms of that, just because all these people, like the fact that she is saying this and they are so worried about it, just it exemplifies that they know that their side was involved in this BS and that it would harm their narrative they've been pushing for the past 4 years because they were involved in all of this criminality.
Yep.
They know. And the fact that they know and they're saying it would be political means that they know the only people being investigated right now are the people that they put in their positions of power when they were there. And that's that. Throw the book out with these people. This was the turning of the tide yesterday. I'm telling you. Between the censorship of the doctors. I had a friend, my son has a friend, and his mom and I only talk when I'm bringing him over there to play, or there's a sleepover, or, you know, there's a little get-together, whatever. And she had asked me previously what I did, and I told her, I said, I'm a journalist, and I have my own, you know, media organization or whatever, and that was it. And she is from the North originally, and she is a was a Democrat. And she just texted me yesterday randomly out of the blue and said, I'm being called a murderer by my friends. They say that I moved down here and was indoctrinated, and they're calling me names and they're saying I'm killing people. And then because she won't wear a mask.
Oh, wow.
She said all of my friends from New York have now said they can't believe how long that I, or New Jersey, I'm sorry. They can't believe how long they've known me and didn't realize that this is what I was like.
Oh.
And I had to counsel her via text message. She sent me a video of her son talking about, if masks work, then how come I can drink this water through mine? And he drank water through his mask.
Yeah.
Now, she is lost and alone and feels like she's going crazy. She said it to me. I feel like I'm going crazy. She's like, I don't understand what's happening. She's very distraught over this. And I had to explain to her, you're not alone. They make you, I had to explain the whole thing to her. I said, you know, you probably thought I was crazy a few months ago. Bear with me. Let me explain what's happening. And I went through and I explained everything. And it's happening everywhere. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I live in the land of the dead up here. I really do. It's the land of the dead.
Well,
so
we'll be back on Friday. And guess what, Frank?
What?
We have an interesting guest. First of all, Ned Ryan's going to be joining us again. I'm just trying to firm up when.
Awesome.
His dad was just awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom last week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was there in the Oval Office with President Trump accepting it. It was really cool.
Congratulations to Mr. Ryan.
Yeah, really awesome. And we've been, you know, he's like, let's get this scheduled. I said, yes. And then another interesting guest who has been silent basically up until now from the Flynn orbit. Not General Flynn. I don't want to get everybody crazy.
Joe?
Nope.
Michael Jr.?
No. The gentleman who brought the quote turkey deal to General Flynn's company, Flynn Intel Group. The business deal that got him in trouble with Farah?
Yeah.
The guy who was the originator of that deal.
Okay, he's going to be on the show?
Alptekin, yeah. We're corresponding via email. He, because of legal reasons, has not been able to speak until now.
Well, I'm happy to hear it. I can't wait, because any kind of clarity I can get on the Farah end of the Flynn story, the better.
Mm-hmm. That's what I figured. And I've seen an interview that he's done, and he seems like a really great guy. So
there you have it.
You have been listening to the Wednesday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Reclaiming My Time, Val, and
Beans. I forgot what I said. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Friday.
Later.
This is an MMA report with Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan quick fix on Radio Influence.
I'm super excited for this fight card because of this fight in particular. And it's largely because of Edmund Shahbazyan, because his performance against Brad Tavares and before that against Marshman and Charles Byrd, he was fighting like a guy where it's like, damn, this is a potential championship level fighter. So this Brunson fight is a nice test. He kind of serves the role of gatekeeper. It's a harsh term, but you're not a gatekeeper if you're not talented. And I'm psyched for Edmund and Brunson.
Yeah, that is my number one fight. I got to imagine that's your number one fight, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I'll tell you right now, my number two fight is it's Vicente Luque and Randy Brown.
Okay, we're on the same page. Yeah, okay.
I mean, dude, like Vicente Luque could fight a sea otter, and it would be top three. Yeah. He is unbelievable. I mean, okay, this dude just has three Fight of the Nights in his last five. And the only reason why it's not four out of five is that he was fighting against Nico Price on UFC 249. That fight against Nico Price is literally, it didn't win Fight of the Night honors, but it's literally a top 10 fight of this year. So Vicente Luque is just unbelievably exciting. He's also pretty damn good, as is Randy Brown coming off the win over Warley Alves.
Yeah, that is definitely my number two fight. I mean, I don't know if it's in Vicente Luque's DNA to have a boring fight. We'll see if Randy Brown maybe goes to more of a, you know, try to not have a kickboxing matchup. You know, maybe use that kickboxing to set up a takedown. My number three fight, this is where I'm interested if we're going to agree or not. And my number three fight is Lando Vannetta versus Bobby Green.
The MMA Report with Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.